Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
The whole show powered by PDC Energy rolls on here from the Allo Communications Studios. Chris Abshire here, Kevin Lytle. We're both from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you can visit us at coloradoan.com/sports. We're filling in for Brady today. He's on a little summer vacay, but we're excited. We had a great first hour, had a lot to talk about down in the Denver sports area. We got a little Avs talk in. We got some serious David Roddy NBA draft talk. That was a lot of fun, just kind of, you know, chopping it up where he's going to end up. But, you know, now with CSU, with the Rams, we're going to turn our attention, to a season that's a little closer to kicking off, and that's CSU football. What is it at this point? About 2.5 months? Not even.
Less, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's coming fast.
Exactly.
It always flies by. You know, camp will start the first week of August, August 5th-ish or so. For CSU, so it's coming fast, and right now is a very busy season. Yeah, they're, you know, not technically in season, but obviously off season workouts for the current players, and it is recruiting season right now.
Absolutely, and we're going to get into a little bit of that. We're going to kind of continue our little mailbag segment from the last hour. If you were tuned in, we're going to use that as a jumping off point to kind of talk a little bit, you know, about what to expect from Jay Norvell's first season. I mean, you know, first season of a new coach is always intriguing, especially when you're kind of moving styles from the Steve Addazio era to the Jay Norvell era. So, Kevin, let's get into some of these questions we got from our readers.
Yeah, well, that's a perfect changing styles is a perfect tee off for this first question from a friend, David Haas. Can the Rams run the ball well enough to keep the pressure off the freshman quarterback? And that's a, you know, good question, because obviously they air raid offense. They're going to throw it a lot. You have a redshirt freshman, starting at quarterback in Clay Millen, barring a stunner in camp. I'm torn on this one. So, an interesting thing, Nevada and CSU ran the ball fairly similarly last year, which is a knock on CSU, because that was
that was what they were trying to do.
Good at. You know, Nevada, neither were efficient. Nevada averaged 3 yards a carry. CSU was under 4. They're at like 3.7. CSU had 14 rushing touchdowns. Nevada had 13. And every time CSU was in the red zone, all they did was run. So it's kind of bad that they were at the same level of rushing touchdowns as Nevada. So in some ways, I think CSU will run the ball not any worse than they did last year. Certainly the total yardage is going to come down. That will just be because of fewer attempts. But I like Avery Morrow and Ajon Vivens. I think they're going to be a good tandem. I think they're mostly who we're going to see. I know some folks want or expect to see some David Bailey, maybe a little bit, but probably not a ton. I think those two will really see a lot, and they can both receive out of the backfield. But I guess my further point in this is, they don't want to take the pressure off the freshman quarterback. They are unabashed about – this staff is unabashed about what they expect out of their quarterbacks. They expect them to be accurate. They expect them to throw the ball downfield. They expect them to throw for touchdowns and to not throw for interceptions. I don't think you're going to see much of a difference in the offense from what they did with Carson Strong last year and what they did with Clay Millen. Sure, here and there they might be a little bit more cautious, just because obviously Carson Strong had a lot of experience under his belt. But in this offense, you're going to have to throw it. You know, talking to Matt Mummy, the offensive coordinator, if you will, that's not his official title, but close. He says, yeah, we don't really care what age you are. You know, there's pressure in this quarterback room. You need to perform. You need to perform well. You need to be accurate. You need to make the right reads, the right checks, all that. So in a lot of ways, they're not interested in taking the pressure off the young quarterback. They expect him to produce, and I think we're going to see that on the field. I think they are going to let Clay Millen fling the ball around. Yeah, obviously there are times you need to run the ball. You have to have some influence there in the game. But no, I don't think we're going to see, this offense doesn't have training wheels. You're riding the bike or you're not.
So one thing I think would be really helpful, Kevin, for CSU fans out there, you know, with this, you hear about the air raid offense, you kind of, you can picture, obviously it gives you a description of what it's going to be like, But is it going to be closer to the Mike Bobo offense, which was a 65-35-ish pass to run split? Or is it going to be closer to like a Mike Leach Washington State offense where it's 90-10 type of ratio there?
Yeah, I mean, you're probably more in that. I mean, there are some Leach elements in this. The air raid's fascinating. Obviously, the air raid kind of created by Matt Mumme's dad, Hal Mumme. Matt Mumme came to Nevada where they made the pistol famous. And so he merged some pistol tendencies in. You'll see Clay Millen in the pistol at quarterback. So it's pretty fascinating. But no, it's going to be very pass heavy, more so than Bobo. Ironically, you know, Bobo's best offensive teams ran the ball well. You know, Daylon Dawkins in 2017. That's not going to be the case here. I don't think we're going to see a 1,000-yard rusher anytime soon, most likely. So, no, it's heavier on the pass for sure. And what's fascinating is it's a really simple offense. I mean, they technically or practically don't have a playbook. There are kind of a few plays and then tweaks off of those plays. In some ways, it's kind of like an option attack where you really only have, you know, 3-4 things you do. You just have different ways you can do them to, you know, just little tweaks.
But it's annoying for everyone else.
Yeah, it's like that in the passing game of everything kind of looks the same at the start, and then, you know, that's where your receivers and quarterback really need to be on the same page of, we're both seeing the defense the same way, so we know that we need to run this route as opposed to this route. But no, I mean, Clay Millen's going to have a lot of pressure on him because that's what this offense has. You have to be smart, tuned in, sharp, and all those things. So yeah, they need to run the ball at times, absolutely. But Clay Millen has the keys. There's no speed limit on this baby.
So it kind of sounds like your answer to the question, like overall, is that CSU running back, their raw numbers are not going to be better or higher than they were last year, but you still see a lot of ways for them to get involved as far as, especially in the passing game, coming out in the flats. I mean, like you said, if they're focused in on the formations and, you know, they're going to have some dynamic receivers out there on the edge. If they're too focused on them, there's going to be an opportunity for an Ajon Vivens to come out of the backfield and maybe, you know, break that screen pass for 20, 30 yards type of thing.
And certainly well-timed running as well, because you know what will happen. There will obviously be some defenses that don't put anyone in the box, basically, to try and stop the pass. And so then, yeah, you want to expose them and be able to run. So, and plenty of that will come down to the line as well. You know, they're a totally new line from what we saw last year, which probably is not a bad thing. You have four transfers that will start, most likely, and then the one holdover, Brian Crespo, didn't really play much last year. So, you know, we need to see how the line performs. Obviously, it's too soon to tell. You know, you have guys with experience, but that's going to be a big part of it. But it is going to be fascinating. I'm really intrigued to see what the air raid looks like, you know, on a day-in, day-out basis. Obviously, we've, you know, kind of see it once a year when Nevada plays CSU, and you obviously know generally what it is. But to see how it operates week to week and how it tweaks and changes as defense tweak to change, you know, to stop it, I'm really intrigued.
Yeah, we talked a lot about the running game, the receivers, Clay Millen. I do think you're right there that offensive line is really going to dictate what kind of level this team can get to this year. And I think that's a good kind of segue here to our next question. You know, we're going to get into a little over-under win totals for CSU this year. Am I right?
Yep. It's too early to be doing this in a lot of ways, but it's
the
perfect
line,
time to
the Vegas
it.
Line is out.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I got an email from one of the sites today with the Vegas odds. They have CSU at a 5.5 is the over-under. People might also be interested that the team down the road in Boulder, they have at 3.5 as their over-under. So it's looking like a tough season in Boulder.
Well, another thing that's interesting is Jay Norvell's former team, Nevada, is at 4 in that over-under win total. So CSU is above both of those now in the over-under. It's the preseason. Let's make that clear.
Yep.
But our question does match the Vegas line.
Yeah, that was
correctly.
The exact question. A reader said, you know, I'm setting the over-under at 5.5. You know, which way do you have it? I do think that's a great over-under. I'm actually surprised Vegas has
a lot of respect for CSU.
I thought it'd be a little lower, but, you know, from seeing this team and knowing what's going on, that's where I would put it.
You got to set the schedule first.
Yeah,
we're talking over under.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, quick look at schedule. You start with Michigan. That's obviously a very intriguing, exciting game, but a loss. CSU also goes to Washington State in non-conference play. That's
90%.
You know, it's not 100%, you know, loss. That's the type of Power 5 game I think they should be playing, because there are years you can win that, but it's a tough one. And then they host Sacramento State and Middle Tennessee in non-conference play as well. You know, Sacramento State's a good FCS. Middle Tennessee was in bowl last year. They're a solid team. So none of those are gimmies. But yeah, right now, if I'm picking, I have CSU getting to 6 wins and being bowl eligible. So I have them a little over right now. Obviously, there's so many unknowns that we can't really know how they're going to impact the season at the moment until they actually get on the field. But, you know, maybe I'm drinking the Kool-Aid too much, but I really think that they've done enough in this offseason to get this team, you know, to bowl eligible, which, and frankly, the fact that we're even having a realistic discussion about this is a pretty good credit to what they've done in the offseason, because the way things were at the end of last year, I would have had this year's win total at about 2-3. So
yes.
It's been a big change in the offseason.
No, and I'm a big proponent with over-unders. You know, like I said, I had you set the schedule because I think that's always so crucial for you. If they're going to get to that 6, those two home games in the non-conference, pretty much non-negotiable.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, you got to win those.
You got to win both of them. I think Sacramento State, if this team... I think they're just going to be a little too talented at the skill positions for an FCS team.
They should,
They should. You know, we've seen in recent CSU history that not always being the case at home. So, but, you know, Middle Tennessee, I think that's going to be a great early barometer for what this team is going to be and kind of tell us if we're looking at a 4-win team or a 6-win team or a 7-win team maybe. But that being said, and you can speak to this a little bit, that the conference schedule – is not exactly a beast for CSU this year.
Yeah, it sets up pretty well. And first off, the first game of Mountain West season is at Nevada, which
doesn't get any more intriguing.
Good work,
than that,
schedule
right?
makers. I've kind of poked
we
around to see
you.
If that was intentional or not. I've actually been hinted that they think it actually was not. It was true random generation, which good work, computer, if that's the case, because Norvell's return to Nevada, that's a pretty spicy game. Obviously, there are some emotions involved in that. It's crazy to see a coach leave, you know, to go across the conference, especially as
for
we all know,
just whooped.
It was, 10 days after he beat CSU by 40 whatever points it was, and as Steve Adazio made his dramatic exit before halftime of his CSU career. So anyway, but that's a game CSU probably should win. Nevada's roster has been decimated because a lot of them are in Fort Collins now. That's a game CSU needs to win.
Yeah, so... I mean, that's the thing. You go through the schedule. I mean, Hawaii's at home. That's a very winnable game. Yep. They're in year one of a new coach. They go to UNLV, right, this year?
No, UNLV. They go to San Jose State.
To San Jose.
Who knows what they'll be.
Wild,
you know, they've been up and down. But, you know, generally you want to beat San Jose State because they don't tend to be good. You host Wyoming. Wyoming's had a pretty chaotic offseason. And obviously they've been kicking CSU's butt up and down for quite a while, it feels like. So CSU will want to get that back. You go to Air Force, that's a brutal game. Air Force, I think, could be really good this year. I think Air Force might be your mountain favorite.
I agree.
You host New Mexico, you got to win that. You know, CSU's beat New Mexico 125 straight times. That's not true, but it's like 13 or something like that.
Fulcrum game, Utah State.
Yeah, I would agree. That's a good one. Utah State, again, were they sort of a flash in the pan one-hit wonder last year, or are they legitimately going to... you know, continue what they're doing. I think they'll be solid, but they did lose some, so that's a tricky one. And then at Boise State, CSU still never beat Boise State. I think Boise's going to be decent this year. I don't think they're going to be great. I certainly wouldn't expect CSU to win on the blue, but it's not going to be a vintage Boise team, so maybe you have, you know, a little bit of a chance. But at some point, if you want to get to where CSU wants to be, they've got to find a way to beat Boise sometime.
So if you're taking the over on this, and just to be clear here, I'm actually agreeing with you. I take the over as well. You putting it right on the 6-6 number?
Yeah, I think that's where I feel safe right now and comfortable.
All right, well.
I concede a way to 7, but I don't fully see it yet.
Fun summer for Ram fans. We have some news in the next segment. A little bit of news that, you know, maybe that 5.5 number won't be so low in years to come. We got some good CSU football recruiting news on the other side of this break. You're tuned into the whole show here, powered by PDC Energy, here on Northern Colorado's Voice, KFK 1310 AM, 103.1 FM. Chris Abshire and Kevin Lytle filling in for Brady this Monday afternoon.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Happy Monday afternoon, everyone out there. You're listening to Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 AM, 103.1 FM, KFKA. Chris Abshire and Kevin Lytle here. We're on the whole show, powered by PDC Energy, filling in for Brady today. Hope he's having a nice time out there on vacation. I believe his return might even still be up in the air. Just it might even be based on when the Avs might have a chance to clinch that series. So looking forward to Game 3 of that series tonight in the Stanley Cup Finals. But in the meantime, for this next segment here, we're going to have some fun. I kind of teased it a little bit in the last segment where we answered the over-under win total. And there's some players who are starting to form the foundation for a class that might make that win total a little higher before the 2023 season. Kevin, you want to kind of get us up to date on what's been happening early on in this 2023 CSU football class?
Yeah, college football, you live and die with recruiting. I would say being a college football coach is at least 60% recruiting and
absolutely
less than half is coaching, which obviously sounds funky, but I think that is the truth. And yeah, right now, Jay Norvell, when he is hired, his intro presser, he said, we are going to be able to recruit at a level we've never done before and CSU hasn't seen before. And in some ways, it sounds like bravado and whatever, but we're seeing it come true right now. CSU is early in putting together the 2023 class, which will sign in mostly in December. But right now it's looking pretty solid, and Jay Norvell is proving true that they are getting commits from some pretty high-level guys. June, for those that don't know, this is a heavy recruiting time. You can, the NCAA calendar kind of dictates when players can come visit campus and official visits and all that. We don't need to get into all the details, but generally, you have a lot of your highest
priority
recruits come to campus in June, and CSU has now had back-to-back weekends of that, and they have right now 6 known commitments. I believe there's a 7th out there that just hasn't announced. We're kind of just waiting on him to share his own news publicly first. Just right before we went on air, TJ Crandall, a cornerback, safety, athlete type guy from Washington, committed. He has offers from Arizona State. It's his highest profile, so CSU getting a guy from a potential Power 5 school. The biggest one so far, Kendi McDowell, a defensive lineman, kind of an edge rusher, sort of in that, kind of a hybrid linebacker defensive end, but his job is going to be a get after a quarterback. He's from Texas, obviously.
Committed over the weekend.
Yep, obviously a hotbed, committed over the weekend. His offer list is pretty staggering. He has
read them off for us.
Notre Dame in there, Oklahoma State, Colorado. He went on a visit to Colorado, picked CSU over the Buffs, so fans like that. Arizona State, Minnesota, he has about a dozen Power 5 offers, I think 18 total offers. He looks like he could be a very high-profile guy, and that just speaks to the level that they're shooting for. I mean, they're swinging for offenses, and right now it seems like they're connecting. So pretty good there. You have an offensive lineman from Valor Christian in the class. Obviously, Valor is powerhouse in Colorado. You have a defensive lineman from Illinois that had some pretty good offers as well. You have a receiver from Phoenix that, again, Washington State, Nevada, some of your kind of Western counterparts pick CSU over them. And then Jackson Brousseau, a pretty interesting one to me. He was the first commit way back in April. He's a quarterback from Utah. He had, let me read his stat line last year, 3,300 yards, 36 touchdowns, only 5 interceptions as a junior last year. He's a guy that has a ton of Pac-12 teams circling around. Yep. Obviously, we'll see how his senior year goes. But yeah, big picture, CSU is swinging at guys that have, you know, impressive offer lists, and they're getting some of them. And it's not just – I think we all knew – they'd be able to get quarterbacks and receivers yes. of a pretty high standard just because of the offense. I mean, if you're a quarterback or receiver, you look at their right, it's like, yeah, please.
Yeah, please, sign me up.
But the fact that they're getting, you know, like I say, Kennedy McDowell, a defensive end, if you can get high-rated defensive players like that, it's going to serve you well. And, you know, recruiting rankings, as we've talked a lot about, are
They're
up and down.
Yes, hit or miss.
I think individually, for one player, they don't matter that much. But collectively, you have to sign a group that other schools are interested in, yes. basically. Like Steve Adazio, there are some diamonds in a rough you can find, and they did find a couple. But for the most part, they were recruiting kids that had no other D1 or FBS offers. You can't sign 20 of those, which
you can get away with trying to sign a few,
get the right ones. But if no one else thinks the guys, any of the guys you're looking at are FBS level, the odds that you're the smartest guy in the country are not great. But, you know, with Norvell here, these are guys that a lot of places are looking, and, you know, he recruited well to Nevada, and that's a place that doesn't get good recruits because they have terrible facilities, a lot of things, you know, that kind of challenge you, whereas, you know, now that's changed for him at CSU. So right now, again, these aren't on the field wins. You need to get those once that opportunity presents itself. But as far as off field success, I mean, there's nothing more Norvell and staff could be doing right now to excite fans.
Well, I mean, I think you're right there. This is already, you know, like you said, no wins or losses on the field, but this is already a proof of concept in a way. I mean, one of the big things Norvell talked about himself about why he wanted to move within the conference, move to a team that went 3-9 last year, and, you know, a school that Nevada, you know, whooped up on in the last game of the season. It's because of things like his ability to recruit with some of the facilities and the resources that CSU has. And I think the good news for, you know, you mentioned the quarterback, and you know, you're already starting to worry a little bit about Pac-12 schools, you know, being the vultures circling around him and everything. I think with Norvell, it's good he has that experience out there in Nevada. He was trying to get, you know, a lot of these kids already, you know, from the same, you know, Pac-12 recruiting grounds that he's trying to get over to CSU yep. now. So he's kind of got that experience trying to say, hey, you know, come to us for XYZ reason. And now he's got an even better, you know, kind of pitch than he did at Nevada.
Yeah, and you can also see the map, if you will. And it's exactly what they said it would be. Obviously, they're going to recruit Colorado. It seems like Bill Best, the O-line coach, has really taken ownership of Colorado. I know he's visited, I don't know the number, a ton of Colorado schools already. They're going to hit Texas pretty hard. Every school recruits Texas. That's kind of a given. They're going to recruit California really hard. Washington's another. That's a state that's probably a little undermined just because not everyone's going up to Washington.
True.
Yeah, that's where Clay Millen's from. But California, I mean, they have some really deep ties, especially L.A. area. You're going to see a ton of L.A., Southern California type of kids.
We saw that in this class.
Yeah, we've already seen it in the first class. We're going to see it in this next one. We're going to see it again and again and again. And in CSU's best teams, you know, everyone always refers back to St. Lubick era for good reason. Those rosters were Colorado, Texas, and California as the core. Obviously, you're going to have some spread out from other areas. You know, CSU's going to hit Arizona, some of that as well. And yet one of their commits is Illinois. So you're going to have some kind of random outliers. But those are going to be the core of the future of this team.
Do you think, you know, looking at these first, like, handful of signees for this 2023 class, three of the five are, you know, they're linemen. Obviously, in any recruiting class for an air raid team, you're going to have to get your QBs. You're going to have to get your wide receivers. Do you think that so far these first three commits, is that a sign of what might be to come in this class only? Just say, hey, we need to beef up in these areas. Yeah. We can't afford that long term.
Yeah, I think the lines are a place that you need some restructuring because some just the way things go, some you know, former staff work, your D-line is in transition, your O-line, I mean, you're not really using much of anyone from the previous class, which, again, is ironic since that's what Adazio and crew were supposed to be good at, but they didn't really recruit good O-linemen. So, yeah, I think they really need to beef up there. Norvell, especially O-line, he said he wants really – you know, tall, long arm guys. You know, a lot of what Adazio had to recruit were kind of your, you know, smaller, you know, squat O linemen, and that's not what they want here. So you're going to see definitely an effort to rebuild that right now, because, like I say, this year's O line is going to be mostly transfers, but you've got to get a little bit of a beefing up of that unit as we move forward.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, it's not going to be – you're not going to build your class every year in an air raid offense around your offensive line. But that being said, like, Clay Millen's got to have time to throw.
Yep.
So, you know, and I think it's fair to say that, yeah, they want a different style of you know, line. The way they're going to block, the schemes they're going to have, it's going to be very different in this offense versus that Steve Adazio kind of, you know, ground and pound offense more so.
Yep.
I mean, is that...
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely different style of lineman. Another, we're getting a little in the weeds here, but for, you know, people follow recruiting closely, things are changing now. It used to be you had an exact number of players you could sign in a class, and you knew what that was. But that's changed now. They've ditched the 25 initials, and a team just has to stay at or under 85 total scholarships for, you know, the whole team. So it's going to make it a little harder to follow if you won't know exactly how many spots there are, and you won't know till the end of the season, obviously, who transfers, all that. But it means that you have teams do have more flexibility to regenerate a roster.
Yeah. Year to year.
You're
going to
have more turnover year to year, but a lot of opportunities for players to find spots and find time. So yeah, it's fascinating right now as CSU. I mean, you could not be changing styles more dramatically, at least offensively, than you are going from a hard-headed rushing attack that one, you know, really tried to commit to that to high flying, you know, air raid offense. It's a huge change, and that's where it's a good time for CSU to have both the transfer portal and some extra flexibility in signings to make this transition. Because in the olden days, this would take three to four years. Whereas now, you look at this offense, it's not going to be
Make some noise year one.
Yeah, it's not going to be, you know, the perfect ideal of what Norvell would want, but it's not going, you know, it's going to be serviceable for what he wants to do.
Absolutely. Well, you know, between these recruits, we talked a little over-under win totals. I mean, the season's almost here, so we're excited to see what these Rams do this fall. We'll bring it back shortly. We'll wrap up the show this last half hour. Stay tuned for your sports flash, all the latest sports news. You're listening to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy, here on Northern Colorado's Voice, KFK, 1310 AM and 103.1 FM.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back out there in Northern Colorado. What a great day it is. I mean, very nice. Sunny, moderate temps. Much better than late last week. So you're listening to Northern Colorado's Voice, KFK, 1310 AM, 103.1 on your FM dial. Chris Abshire here in the Allo Communications Studios. We're filling in on The Whole Show, Colorado sports talk show powered by PDC Energy. Got Kevin Lytle with me. We're both from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and filling in for Brady Hull. We kind of opened this show earlier today, you know, and we're going to kind of wind it down the same way. We talked a lot of basketball. You know, the NBA Finals just wrapped up, so all the attention kind of turns to the draft now. David Roddy, you know, we're keeping an eye on where the CSU star is going to end up. But, of course, the flip side of that, and who knows, maybe it's a marriage waiting to happen. We'll see. I know a lot of CSU fans are, you know, maybe that's some wishful thinking there. But we're going to get into a little nuggets here and just talk about what they might be looking for during the draft, where they go this offseason. Yes, maybe even the chances of David Roddy going to them. So, Kevin, I'll throw it over to you. I mean, I know we all have ideas a little bit on what we think, you know, the Nuggets might do with those picks. But, I mean, if there's one direction you expect them to go, it's pretty obvious, right, with those picks.
Trade?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. No, I mean, it really does feel like at least the attempt. Obviously, that's no guarantee. You can have hopes and dreams for anything that doesn't come together because you need someone to dance with you on a trade. But just the way the Nuggets roster is constructed, they don't need two rookies to, you know, try and especially late first round rookies to try and help you, you know, win a championship. So that feels like a package either to move up in the draft, higher up and get someone, you know, you love a little higher, or maybe even, you know, a current NBA guy. But I don't know. Again, I'm not a Nuggets insider, but that sure feels like lining up a trade.
Just to kind of, you know, remind everyone out there, the Nuggets have the number 21 pick. So, you know, like middle late first round, and then they have that number 30 pick that they acquired in a trade with the Thunder. I think that still has to be finalized. They sent Jermichael Green over there. Number 30 pick comes back. But I think that is kind of the general expectation, because I agree. I don't see any rookies you could get late in the first round. This team, you know, the Nuggets are not trying to make the playoffs. They're not, you know, trying to be the five seed or whatever. This is a franchise that right now, the next 3 years, is kind of a very legitimate championship window. You know, you have – it's kind of like the Avs. I mean, they're about to enter that – you know, really it should have already started if it wasn't for the injuries. So, you know, what they can do with this draft, you know, we've heard a lot of interesting rumors. You mentioned trade. You know, can they package, you know, a guy like a Will Barton and some of those picks for, you know, you've hear names tossed out like an OG Anunoby from Toronto, a Malcolm Brogdon type of thing. I think those guys would fill some legitimate needs. I know Mike Malone is really adamant they get better on defense. So there's a lot of different ways the Nuggets can go. I know Jeff Green just picked up his option, but you know, they have to get better this offseason, because even getting those guys healthy, I mean, we just saw the Warriors kind of get their mojo back. So there's a lot of work to be done for the Nuggets this offseason.
Yeah, it's fascinating. You know, obviously, I still think the biggest thing to answer is how are Murray and bigger question mark is Michael Porter. I think Murray, it'll take some time, but ACLs, like, yeah, knock on wood, you never know, but generally players come back pretty well.
Long season,
I would
he can
think,
work as well.
Yeah,
back.
I would think Murray will be fine, but Porter with his injury history, I think, is just a huge wild card. You know, I guess we'll see if you can count on him to be a big-time player or not, you know, just because of that injury history. I think no matter what they do with the draft or, you know, other moves, that's probably your biggest thing to answer. And you won't really be able to answer until you go through a season. But yeah, it's pretty fascinating. You know, like you say, Warriors, Steph Curry ain't slowing down. I mean, he looks amazing. They've been developing some good young players. I love that team. I think they're, you know, fantastic.
They're set
put
up
together
for
really well.
Another run.
I adore Steph Curry. I think he is just a perfect NBA star. I love his game. But yeah, Nuggets, I mean, Josh Kroenke even said it's the first time I've seen them come out and say championship time. You know, that's what we've got to be doing. So yeah, the time is now, and you've got guys in their prime, you know, you have back-to-back MVP and Joker. So it's going to be a fascinating season. I'm excited to see what happens this week over the coming, you know, month or so as all the off-season moves happen, then heading into next season. But it is pretty cool having the two, I guess, Ball Arena now, main tenants in the Avs and Nuggets in pretty darn good shape.
Both legitimate title contenders.
Not just right now, but like you say, certainly the next several years, they should both be really good.
It's very funny. I mean, the Avs are already right there. They're on the doorstep right now. And in hockey, in the playoffs, you make the playoffs, you have a shot to win the cup.
Yeah.
It's so funny, though. The Nuggets in the NBA, you're saying, hey, they're a championship contender going forward if they're healthy. Of course, that's always the number one caveat. But in the NBA, if you're a contender, like a legitimate championship contender, join the club. You're one of like 8-10 teams. I mean, because you could point to a lot of different teams out there. The West is always going to be
the NBA
rugged.
Is fascinating right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
And you're kind of getting a change in the guard, like LeBron. You know, I'm sure they're
going
to try and make moves to
reset.
Already
hearing Kyrie rumors.
Yep, hearing the Kyrie rumors. But you know he wants at least one, if not a couple more, legitimate runs. But then you have, you know, the Ja Morants and the Grizzlies. You know, they're surging. You know, who knows if Zion will come back and be Zion again. Obviously, Luka's amazing. You know, obviously the Celtics, I think they're going to come back in force with Tatum leading them. So I don't want to say changing the guard. You know, Phoenix, Chris Paul, you know, are they going to make another run? Obviously, you would assume he'll slow down at some point.
Boy, that game seven was brutal.
Yeah, so it's really fascinating right now. It seems like you kind of have two different generations, you know. And obviously, Steph is more toward that older one. But like we say, it doesn't look like he's slowing down either. So I like the NBA right now. It's pretty fun.
Absolutely. And let's kind of pivot this back to where we started the show, little David Roddy.
Yeah.
CSU fans, we know you want it. You know, we heard it with Trey McBride and the Broncos. Yep. You're hearing it again now. And obviously getting that extra pick more in the range where Roddy might be picked is a little fuel for the fire. What's just your general breakdown? How would he fit? You know, what would the Nuggets like about him? And what are just, you know, the reasonable chances he could get picked?
Yeah, I mean, the things you like is he's a versatile guy that can do a number of things. Obviously, in their offense, you can see how a guy like him could play off Joker pretty well of both cutting to the basket and also hitting some open threes. You know, what you don't like is, like, say, you're not really going to be playing any rookie huge minutes. I don't think he's a guy. I love David Roddy, but I don't think there's that he's putting them over the hump right now to win a title. So I think it's less than 10% chance that he ends up a Nugget after the draft this week. Certainly they like him. They're familiar with him. You know, Calvin Booth, their new GM, CSU is recruiting his son. So, you know, they know each other, but I just don't think he'll be a Nugget.
I mean, we all know anyway the Nuggets need to go for another Nikola. They need to go for Nikola Jovic.
I want that just because it would be hilarious. I know nothing about his game or you know, really how he would fit. I can't say I've been scouting Nikola Jovic, but that would be hilarious.
Well, like you said, it's just really fun that we got. I mean, the Avs are playing deep into June. Also, just throws the circadian rhythm off with the Stanley Cup finals still going on after the NBA finals. But Avs in game three, Nuggets will be, well, theoretically on the clock this Thursday with the NBA draft. David Roddy will also be waiting for his name to be called.
Quick plug, obviously, coloradoan.com will have all your David Roddy coverage. Multiple stories through the week about Mr. Roddy.
Absolutely. Follow us there. Brady will be back in later this week. We're filling in for him today. We'll come back and wrap things up here on The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy, here on Northern Colorado's Voice, KFK 1310, 103.1.
Get the insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard, weekdays at 2 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Down the stretch we come here on this final segment here. On this Monday afternoon, it's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy, here on Northern Colorado's Voice, KFK. Chris Abshire here, sitting in Brady Hull's seat. We're filling in for him. We got Kevin Lytle over with me. We're from the Fort Collins, Colorado. It's been a ton of fun. Had a great time filling in today. You know, we kind of talked about it. It's just like our conversations when we drive over here from Fort Collins. We just get to put them on air. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, appreciate Brady giving us this opportunity. Yeah, we really enjoy it. Really enjoy all our work with our friends over here at KFKA, so we enjoy it.
Yeah, big supporters.
Good time.
Yeah, we love them. I hope Brady's having a nice day on vacation. Boy, you know, as we kind of open the show with, late June, but a lot of fun stuff going on, specifically tonight. You know, I know all eyes in the Colorado sports world are going to be turned to ABC. We'll have the Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Finals. Tampa Bay hosting Colorado. Lightning looking to try to get in this series at all. Avs just, you know, really put it on them in that Game 2.
You know I'll be locked in tonight.
Yes, absolutely. Kevin, of course, will be. So that's going to be a big game, 6 p.m. You know, the Avs could really have a chance to kind of, you know, put their foot down and, you know, it's happened before where a hockey team has come back from down 3-0, but exceedingly rare. They really have a chance to – you can start engraving the name on the cup almost, if you will, tonight. So we'll keep our eye on that later this week. We got the Nuggets coming back. I know Brady's excited to get – you know, he knows David really well, so I know he's excited to talk a lot about whatever ends up happening with David Roddy later this week. You know, it's going to be an intriguing time, whether you're a Nuggets fan, a CSU fan, or both. So and then, of course – what that's going to mean for, you know, this upcoming fall for the CSU basketball team. But, of course, first we got to get through that CSU football season, see what, year one under Jay Norvell looks like.
Excitement's back. Fans are eager again.
Exactly.
A nice feeling after a couple years of not.
Absolutely. So we had a ton of fun today. We just want to thank Brady. You know, we want to thank our producer back there. So, you know, we appreciate you having us. Northern Colorado, always fun to talk sports with you. You can visit us at coloradoin.com/sports for more. We're signing off here on The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy from the Allo Communication Studios. Northern Colorado's voice, KFK, 1310 AM and 103.1 FM. Chris Abshire, Kevin Lytle, signing off.